countries around the globe. Big white letters with golden edges encircle the Earth. Universal. Castle Rock Entertainment presents a Simeon Films production. A sunny day. The Manhattan Bridge casts a shadow on the East River. I don't know why I love you, but I do. A green removals truck heads across the bridge. Hugh Grant, James Caan, Gene Triplehorn, Mickey Blue Eyes. Printed on the truck is a company name, Ross. The truck drives across a junction in Manhattan and heads through mild traffic. Pigeons flutter past the entrance to a subway station. The truck heads along the middle lane of a wide road through the city. Yellow taxis pass by either side. The streets are laid out in a uniform grid-like fashion. Office blocks and skyscrapers line the busy streets. Written beneath the name Ross on the side of the truck, art movers, packers, and shippers. The truck pulls up outside Cromwell's auction house. A brunette woman waiting on the pavement checks her watch and heads into the building. She hurries along a corridor lined with expensive-looking paintings. I don't know how I said it. She arrives in the busy auction room.
$2,000, gentleman in the striped tie over there. $3,000, Yvonne on the telephone. $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000. Against the telephone at $8,000. Against the room at $8,000. Anyone can join in? Thank you. $9,000, $10,000, $11,000, $12,000. Any more? She's still talking, but now she's got her mum on the line. So sold to you, sir, for $12,000. You are bidder number 909. Moving on, lot number 84. Oil on canvas, dated 1870. La femme chez Aube, which translates as a woman with massive bottom. This one is signed by Rudolf Valdemar, authenticated by no less than Dr. Briskind, and bidding up here at $14,000. Thank you. 15 at the back. 16, lady left of the center aisle. 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. 23. No more. All through. All done. And yes. Thank you, sir. New bidder. Gentleman on the left of the aisle. $24,000. Not really. It's a cruel joke. Sold to you, sir, for $23,000 or $11,500 per buttock. Lot number 85. German school. Urd und Clear das Mia.
The brunette signals the handsome floppy haired auctioneer, Michael Fellgate.
Right. Well, this is very embarrassing, ladies and gentlemen. It now turns out that lots 85 through to the end of your catalogue are, in fact, not actually here. Delivery problem. If it's any consolation, we feel as stupid as I'm sure we look. Thank you very much.
He heads down a stairwell with the brunette, Helen.
It's a nightmare. We are a laughing stock. I'm a laughing stock.
They just showed up.
The trucks?
Yeah.
Oh, lovely. Just in time for the end of the auction. Will you remind me to thank them? Listen, Helen, everything's fixed for tonight, yeah?
Yes.
Great. The reservation, flower, city view, all that stuff?
Yes, all taken care of.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. Thanks. Listen, you don't think 3 months is too soon, do you? You know, I haven't even met a family yet. I mean, what do you think, as a woman?
As a woman?
Yeah.
Very risky.
Right. Right, thanks. That's made me feel a lot better.
Outside by the truck...
All right, so let me get this straight. You've brought me just under half the paintings, just over 2 weeks late for the fifth time this year.
You're going to sign, you'll take it all back.
And that's it, is it? That's your response to this?
All right, guys, load it up.
Load them up.
I'll sign. Lovely. Thank you so much. You've been a huge help. Note, call Better Business Bureau. Other note, seek lost testicles.
Michael, need a lift?
Oh, Philip, it's very nice of you. No, I'm actually going to pick up Gina from her school, so...
That's fine. We're going that way. Hop in. Helen, do you know Mr. Morganson?
Michael Fellgate.
Oh, yeah, very nice to meet you. We're very excited that you might be thinking of us for your father's collection. That's,
Mr. Morganson was at a day's sale.
Ah, Well, not typical, if I may say so, but, you know, having said that, I think every auction house in New York has these little delivery hiccups sometimes.
Sotheby's doesn't seem to.
Right.
Philip Cromwell's limo pulls up outside a school. Michael jumps out. Philip winds down the back window.
Michael, I heard about tonight. Best of luck.
Thanks.
The limo goes. In a long black overcoat, Michael skips up the school's front steps into the yard, where gorgeous bob-haired Gina practices kickboxing moves with some kids.
Do they take him for
She spots Michael.
Oh.
She runs over, hugs him, and gives him a big kiss.
Hi. Hi.
So, where are we going?
I am unable to tell you, but I will tell you it's somewhere very special. Goodbye. And we're late. Run.
In her stylish red coat, Gina follows Michael as he runs daintily along the pavement.
Please don't!
Don't what?
Just stop, otherwise I can't go on. Just run normally.
He frowns.
I am running normally.
Oh, all right, I'm sorry. I thought, you know, I guess I haven't seen you run before, and I thought you were doing a funny run.
Funny run? That's my run.
What time is it?
We're now 25 minutes late.
We'll have lost our reservation. What do you think?
I can't think. I'm much too hurt about my run. We'll go somewhere else, and let's walk.
In a restaurant in Chinatown.
Thanks.
He scans the room nervously.
Are you okay? You look a little fishy.
No, I'm fine. So, look, how was last night?
Fine. The usual.
Your dad okay?
Yeah, it's great. Michael, I'm sorry. I want you to meet him. And Richie, it's just...
I know, you're ashamed of me. I talk funny. My hair's unusually floppy.
Just give me time.
Well, at least tell me what his restaurant's called, because I could sneak in a beard or something.
It's called the La Trattoria.
You mean La Trattoria?
No.
The La Trattoria means the Trattoria.
I know.
Interesting. Well, look, I've got to go to the bathroom, and I'll be back in a sec.
She watches him warmly as he gets up. Outside the men's room, he glances back, then leans towards a waitress, putting fortune cookies into bowls.
Hi. I was wondering if you could help me out with a special arrangement. I've got this fortune, and I wondered if you could stick it in one of your fortune cookies. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thanks. Thank you.
Welcome.
I think she wants you to pay now.
No, you eat cookies.
He gurns comically, then smiles at Gina.
Looks like we better eat our cookies.
He cracks his open.
You like Chinese food?
Well, that's spooky.
You gonna check yours?
Oh, no. I'm gonna save it for later.
Eat cookie.
That's all right. I'm sure she will when she's ready.
Well,
thank you.
Well, no, you have it.
No, you eat cookie.
I don't want to.
老闆娘,你不叫他把他打開,你給你飛,你沒有跟到嘛?
Eat cookie.
No, I'm not hungry.
Gina, you know, I think the best thing is to play along.
No, I don't feel like taking orders from the waitress.
Not waitress, owner. Eat fucking cookie.
This woman is insane.
Gina, do you love me?
Yeah.
Do you trust me?
Yeah.
Then eat the cookie.
The waitress, or rather the owner, loiters by the table as Gina cracks open the cookie. Some other staff peer over as she reads the fortune from inside.
Good fences make good neighbors. Hmm?
Oh, my God, Jeffrey! Yes! Oh, the answer is yes!
What?
Oh, my God, honey, I can't... Jeffrey.
Excuse me.
What? Oh,
what are you talking about?
I am so sorry. There's been a mistake. That's actually your one. It's quite true, too.
He switches their fortunes.
This is what you're meant to have. And, this. Ta-da.
A diamond ring.
Oh, my God.
2 carats. How much money? What do you pay?
You know, we could really use some privacy here. Thanks. Please, just give us a moment.
Not waitress. Owner.
I know.
My restaurant.
Go away.
The owner looks down her nose, then walks away.
Michael, my God. I don't know what to say.
Well, I thought what she said was pretty good. Obviously, you could leave out the Jeffrey bit.
I can't. Sorry.
She picks up her things and runs out of the restaurant. Michael looks stunned.
I'm so sorry. It's just...
Michael strolls through Chinatown with his hands in his coat pockets. He stops and frowns, then turns around and hurries back the way he came. He arrives in the lobby of Gina's apartment block and heads for the front desk.
Hey, Michael.
Hi, Jimmy. Listen, did Gina just come back?
Yeah, she came back all right, crying her eyes out. She packed a bag, ran straight back out again. What the hell you been doing to her?
I asked her to marry me.
No. Are you kidding me? Hey!
Right.
Oh, hey! Yes. Jimmy, you...
Listen,
that is
Jimmy,
great!
She didn't by any chance say where she was going, did she?
I think she went to her dad's house.
You don't have that address by any chance?
No, I don't. But you could ask him. He's got a restaurant right around the block. Corner of Mulberry.
Oh, right. The, La Trattoria.
That's the one. Hey! You dog, you!
I'm a bit of a dog. Thanks so much, Jim.
Hey, all the best, huh?
As Michael slopes out of the building, Burly Jimmy, who kept thumping Michael, makes a phone call.
Hi, it's Jimmy. It's Mr. Vitalian. Yeah, I got some great news for him.
La donna è con me, è molto di più di una donna qualsiasi.
A green neon sign reads, The La Trattoria. A yellow taxi pulls up, and Michael gets out.
Canto tutto e niente, una musica, senza musica.
He heads into the restaurant and spots a skinny, slightly cross-eyed chap at the bar. Michael heads over, and the 30-something chap gets up.
Excuse me. I was hoping you might be able to tell me the...
Hey, you're Michael.
Yeah.
I'm Richie.
Oh, right. Hi. Yeah, great to meet you. You look a lot like Gina.
Huh. You don't look like her at all. I'll go get my dad.
Oh, no, that's okay. I just needed his home address.
Richie heads off. A stocky guy points at Michael.
You're Gina's guy, right?
Right, yeah.
You own that auction house?
Well, no, I just run it for the owner, actually.
Interesting line of business. What's the deal with that? You get to pick the paintings?
I used to. Now I just get to pick fights with truck drivers.
Delivery problems, huh?
Right, yeah.
You know, I love art.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What's that supposed to mean? Johnny, it don't mean nothing.
Vinny.
What I say?
You know what you said. What, do you like the guy? You find him attractive? What?
For Christ's sakes, Johnny.
There's something going on here, Vinny.
Nothing's going on.
Johnny. Billy Lamarck.
Johnny and his girlfriend leave. Michael smiles at the senior fellow eating dinner at a table nearby. He wears glasses with thick lenses.
I apologize. My son is very emotional. Artistic. I think you understand.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I hate to disturb Mr. Vitali when he's busy. I was just wondering, does anyone here have his home...
Michael.
Mr. Vitali.
My God, Michael, finally. You know, Gina keeps telling me how busy you are, but, hey, better late than never, right?
Right.
So, you meet everyone?
Yeah, I think so.
Vinny.
How you doing?
Carmine, Louie, this is Uncle Vito. A pleasure.
Likewise, yeah. So, are you mostly family, then?
Everybody just stares.
mostly.
Uh-huh. You two should talk.
Right. Good.
Hey, good luck with them trucks.
Thanks. Look, Mr. Vitale, it's really nice to meet you at last, but I actually just dropped by to ask you a question.
Is that right? A question, eh?
Yeah. I think I have an idea what that question might be.
You do?
But if we're going to do this right, don't you think we should get to know each other a little first?
Yeah. I suppose so.
May sit down.
You know something, Michael? I think I'm going to like you. I believe very deeply in first impressions. I fell in love with my wife at first sight. And the minute they showed that Charles Manson on the news, I said, I know this guy's up to no good. Now I see you for the first time, and I know you love my daughter.
Look, Mr. Vitale, here's the thing.
Frank.
Listen,
come on, I want to show you something.
For Christ's sakes, Richie, I can't hear myself think. What's wrong with you?
I don't know!
Frank leads Michael away by the arm.
Kid's got 174 IQ, and what do you get? An idiot. I mean, he's my son, and I love him. And I wish there was another word. There isn't.
Mr. Vitale, do you have a bathroom?
Yeah, down the hall there. You can't miss it. Come on, stairs when you're through.
Frank heads upstairs, and Michael goes into a corridor. He tries the first door he comes to. It's the kitchen. He shuts the door and tries the next one. It's the freezer. He shuts the door and starts to walk away, then hesitates and opens the door again. He spots a man in a suit standing bolt upright, shivering amongst the meat. The man nods at Michael, who nods back and shuts the door. Upstairs.
Take a look at this.
Mr. Vitale. There's a man in the freezer.
I know. Maintenance. Come here. You recognize this person? The best student they ever had. Here she is with her mother. Gina has her eyes, you'll notice. But a week after this day, mother passed away, and a week after that, Gina was back in school studying harder than before and coming home every night trying to take care of me and Richie. She's still doing it.
I apologize.
But as you may have guessed, I am crazy about my Gina. Oh, my God, I am so thrilled that she met someone who knows exactly how she deserves to be treated.
Right.
Like a fucking princess.
Right. You know, Mr. Vitale, I think I should really tell you about what happened tonight.
Oh, respect, Michael. I got a confession to make. I already know.
Oh, you do?
No, don't make a copy.
When
he called with the good news, I knew. This Michael, he's a gentleman. He's coming to ask for my daughter's hand. So, go ahead.
Frank smiles at Michael, who narrows his eyes.
May I please have your daughter's hand in marriage, Mr. Vitale? Frank?
Dad.
Yes.
What a kid.
Frank embraces Michael, kisses his cheek, and pats his shoulders. Frank parks in the driveway outside his well-to-do house. Gina's under the covers in her bedroom.
I'm sleeping, Daddy.
Gina? It's me.
She jumps up and hugs Michael tightly.
I love you so much.
Oh, I love you.
Then why did you have to do this? Everything was perfect. Why did you have to go and ruin it?
Well, I didn't mean to. I just thought, you know...
No, I know, and I do. I do so much.
Well, then that's great. That's fantastic.
But I can't. I just can't.
Gina, I'm not following.
She dresses.
What's happening?
I can't talk about this in the house.
No. So, where are we going?
Out.
Right. Nowhere too dressy, I hope.
She throws on a garish orange poncho and marches outside. Michael follows her along the pavement.
Gina.
Oh.
She spins round.
I can't marry you because of my father.
Your father? Gina, I just met your father. I loved him. Yeah, well, I needed this address, so I went to the trattoria. I met some of your relations.
Okay. Keep walking. So who'd you meet? Nice Uncle Vito?
Yeah.
Full name Vito Graziosi. They ring any bells?
Was it boxing?
Vito the Butcher Graziosi. He's the head of the Graziosi crime family. Did you meet Johnny? Johnny Graziosi? He just finished 8 years in Sing Sing for loan sharking. Vinny? Vinny the Shrimp D'Agostino, 20 years for double murder. Do you get the picture now?
I don't understand. Are you saying your dad's some kind of mob caterer?
My father was in prison till I was 8, Michael. He's one of them.
Michael frowns and nods. Gina does likewise.
Wow.
Just keep walking. Oh, I should have told you months ago. Or, I mean, I just walked away. I mean, normally I would have, but I couldn't because I was so happy.
Well, listen, I don't want to marry your father.
But you will, Michael, whether you like it or not. Him and his friends. And I can't let that happen to you because I love you and everything they touch ends up spoiled and corrupted.
Wait a minute, this is ridiculous for a start. I might not be corruptible.
It's a little favor, a tiny lie, and you're theirs. Believe me, I've seen it. No, I'm sorry, it's just over, Michael.
He looks at her incredulously.
Well, no. I'm sorry, but I've waited all my life to find someone I love as much as I love you. I'm just not gonna let this or anyone come between us. Not Vito the Butcher or Vinny the Baker or anyone involved in any kind of food preparation. That's it. End of story.
But you don't know how clever they are.
No, but you do, presumably, and you can tell me. We can do this together.
Completely together.
Completely. I swear. Now just give in. Marry me.
She beams and throws her arms around him. At Vito's opulent mansion.
Smile! You're engaged! Great. Now just Gina and Michael over here, I think. Would
happy engagement, you guys!
Okay.
How's it?
Okay. Say cheese.
Hey, Michael, congratulations. Jeez.
You're right. It really does talk funny.
Cheese. Oh, yeah, you're all getting into this.
I know. My therapist suggested it as a way to get over my little... I think it's really working. I feel terrific, especially tonight. I am so happy for you guys.
Carol wanders off.
Bad breakup, long story.
Oh, let's go say hello to Uncle Vito. Come on.
Here we go.
Hey.
They head over to Vito, who stands up and hugs Frank warmly.
Molto grazie. What you gonna do?
Hey, Uncle Vito.
Oh, he's so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You're like a flower.
Well, you too, Uncle Vito.
This is so nice of you. We were really planning something much smaller.
Oh, yes, thank you.
Niente. Your school. How is everything?
Well, it's pretty good. Only 2 shootings last week.
Jesus Christ has got me sick with worry. Why do you want to worry your father? You want to transfer? I have a friend of a friend in the supervisor's office.
Thank you. I'll let you know.
So, Michael? Are your family coming over for the wedding?
Michael's an orphan.
He was.
Frank smiles.
I'm sorry to hear that. Tell me, Michael, I'm interested to know. Coming from a foreign culture, You must have a different perspective on all these killings.
Michael looks at Vito open-mouthed.
Well, to speak honestly, I can't say I really approve, but my understanding is that it's all part of your business and that people only get killed who bring it on themselves.
Vito stares levelly at Michael.
The killings at Gina's high school.
I'm against them.
Now, Vito, what do you say we show run out?
An embarrassed Michael grimaces. Upstairs by a painting of a horse.
$250,000. You think it's worth that?
Well, like I say, that's the great thing about an auction. An object is worth whatever anyone is willing to pay for it.
That's an interesting perspective. Now, tell me what you think of this one.
Vito leads Michael to another painting.
You like it?
It features a winged Jesus gunning down a mobster.
Oh, it's very intriguing, isn't it? Tell me, why does Jesus have a machine gun there?
It's symbolic. You have to ask Johnny. He does them as part of his therapy.
Uh-huh.
You have a very gifted son, you know. Not the way he's blood.
So I must say, I like the way the blood sort of oozes out of his...
I like that.
Cranium.
I like that. Yeah. He's a very talented kid, wouldn't you say, Michael?
Yes, I think he certainly has something.
Grazie. I'm flattered that you like it. Listen, Michael, we should talk. I have friends in various fields that would be delighted to help a friend of mine.
Well, that's extremely kind of you. But I've always had this silly thing about standing on my own two feet in business. I hope you understand.
Michael arches his eyebrows. Vito's eyes rove in thought. Then he shrugs.
Of course. I respect your feeling.
Michael smiles and Vito heads off. Gina beams at Michael, then Frank gestures for everyone to follow Vito. Richie can't take his eyes off Johnny's weird painting. Frank is on the mic. Michael and Gina slow dance.
You're nobody till somebody loves you.
I'm so proud of you.
No, you see, I am so proud of you.
No, you.
No, you.
Oh, shut up.
All right.
They kiss.
Perfect. I am so happy for you. One more.
You'll find yourself somebody to love.
In his smart burgundy suit, Frank does a few tap moves. Daytime, Michael browses the window of the posh jeweler's Boris LeBeau. He arrives at Cromwell's with a spring in his step and talks into a dictaphone.
Talk to Helen about tonight's catalogue. Rent, Goodfellas, Casino, Godfather 1, 2, 3. Excuse me. Can I help you?
How much is this one?
On this, the reserve is 30,000, I think. That being, of course, the opening bid on tonight's auction. Do you have much experience when it comes to buying art?
No, but I hear it can be a good investment.
Yes.
My father recently died and left me some money.
Your father? Well, that must have been a terrible shock. You know, if you're just looking for something beautiful to put on your wall, you might like to think about a mirror.
Oh, you. I really want a painting.
Yeah.
Michael, what? Can I have a word?
One moment. I tell you what. Tonight, if there's a nice painting going for less than it's really worth, perhaps we could work out a way in which I could let you know about it.
Oh, you mean like a signal?
Exactly. Listen, I have an important potential client I have to talk to, so I'm going to leave Helen here to work out the exact details of this with you. Where is he?
Not here yet. But the trucks are...
Well, that means they're early.
Yeah. Incredible, huh?
Fantastic. Yeah. Okay, bye.
Michael hurries off.
Hello.
What?
Outside, Michael checks the itinerary with the sheepish-looking delivery guys from Ross.
So that's everything?
Yes, sir, all 44 pieces. And I just want you to know if I've said anything or done anything in the past that in any way offended you, I'm very deeply sorry.
Huh. Well, thanks.
Inside, Philip comes downstairs and finds Michael in his office, sitting behind his desk, lost in thought.
Michael? Michael? Are you okay?
Sorry, yes. Yes, I'm fine. I just, this morning's delivery was complete and on time. It was a bit of a shock.
I can imagine. Now, Morganson's here, so I thought that you could soften him up a bit, and then I'll move in for the kill.
Absolutely.
Lovely.
We do like to think that we can match Sotheby's in the two qualities most important to any auction house. One being, obviously, a tradition of unquestioned respectability, and the other being, for want of a better word, shall we say, class?
Talking to Morganson, he opens the door to a viewing room and finds Johnny's painting inside. He shuts the door.
Well, I know Mr. Cromwell is anxious to talk to you.
In his office, Frank's on the phone. There's a grey-haired guy on a running machine.
I'm sorry, Michael, I'm confused. What's the problem?
Well, Mr. Graziosi wants me to auction it for $50,000. People would pay $50,000 just to avoid being in the same room as this thing.
Michael, please. Your trucks show up on time for the first time in God knows how long. And you get to give a little happiness to an important friend. So, I mean, what's the matter with you? I thought you'd be happy.
No, Mr. Vitale.
No, there. No,
you don't understand. This is exactly what Gina said would happen. This is her... I mean, if she even found out that this thing had been sent over here. Gina, you're early.
Hi.
Just on the phone with your dad.
Oh, let me talk.
Yeah.
Daddy, you got my message? Great. And everything's okay for tomorrow? Tomorrow at noon's okay for the fittings? Okay, well, here's the deal. Now, I'm going to be there, and Carol is going to come along, too, to take photos. No, she's doing the whole wedding, so be nice. Okay, now, we have to talk about the wedding reception. Now, I know you and Mom used Louise, but... hold on.
Michael distracts her from the painting by goofing around and taking down his trousers.
We do have two key attributes for which in this business there is no substitute. The first being, obviously, a tradition of unparalleled respectability. And the other being, shall we say, for want of a better word...
He opens the door to Michael's office. Michael rubs his backside.
We'll come back later.
Right. Hi.
You know what, Daddy? We have to go. Okay, I love you too. He wants to say bye.
Yeah. Look, it's gonna be okay. You put the thing up for auction. It don't sell Gina. We'll never know.
Oh, I don't think I can do that.
Listen, this favor. If you don't do it, it's really not that great. I mean, not for you. And to be honest with you, not for me. So, you'll just do it this once, and I'll talk to Vito and explain how in the future you two would prefer to go it alone. Okay?
Is that a promise, Dad?
Yeah, that's a promise.
Fabulous. Noon tomorrow, then it is. Okay, bye.
What is wrong with you?
You... Come here.
I swear to God, Frankie, I ain't got the money.
All right, now I gotta put you on mountain climb.
The gray-haired guy's eyes widen as Frank heightens the running machine and speeds it up. Night, a glamorous crowd arrives at Cromwell's. Inside, Helen hurries into a stockroom where Michael loiters nervously.
We worked out the signals.
What?
With the old lady. If you want her to start bidding, you cough.
Okay, easy enough.
If you want her to stop bidding, you just say, ha.
Fine. What? Say what?
Ha.
Ha?
At his lectern, Michael spots the old lady, who waves.
Okay, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Portraiture 1450 to 1750.
Outside, Vito, Johnny, and a couple of heavies get out of a limo. They head into the busy auction room.
And down it goes then at... $25,000 to bidder number 977. And so to our final piece of the evening, and a last-minute addition to your catalogue, lot number 277A, Oil on canvas, signed by the artist. The Road to Damascus by Jonathan Graziosi. This item has a reserve of $50,000. 50,000, anyone? No? Oh, well, too bad then. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. That concludes the business for...
He spots a bid.
Was that...
The bidder is the guy from the freezer, his arm in a sling. He's with Vinny.
We have $50,000. $50,000. 55, anyone? All through, all done then at $50,000 to bidder number 235. And I believe that's a record for a Graziosi. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, and good night.
Michael heads off. The crowd rises. The old lady looks around. Philip finds Michael in the reception.
Michael, you snuck that last one in on me, didn't you?
Yes, I'm afraid so. I'm sorry.
I do that more often. Congratulations. Quite a painting you have for yourself, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I'm sorry. Have we met someone?
I don't believe so. But may I ask, do either of you gentlemen enjoy steak?
Very much so.
University in Ninth. I'm very proud of it.
Michael, mil grazie. You make me very proud and Johnny very happy.
There's something going on here.
Hey, Johnny, come on. Nothing's going on.
Yeah, I don't like your face.
Johnny threatened a bemused-looking guy who was minding his own business. In the back of a taxi.
Hello, Frank. It's Michael. I've been trying to get you since last night. Listen, it's sold. Did you know that the painting actually sold?
Right on, I heard. That's great.
Did you talk to, your friend? I mean, that is it, right? Finito, no more favors.
Trust me, Mike.
Hey, it's gonna be okay.
Great. Wait, sorry. It is, or it's going to be. Hello? Hello,
sorry,
Frank.
Gotta go see you at the tailor.
The taxi hits a big jam. Michael spots a traffic cop and winds down his window.
Excuse me. What's going on?
Big fire over on 72nd Street.
Oh, is a restaurant or something?
Nah, no, some odd place.
Michael frowns.
Sotheby's?
That's it.
Michael's eyes rove in thought as the taxi drives away. With a troubled frown still stuck to his face, Michael arrives in his office and sits down heavily in the seat behind his desk. He looks down at his desktop and spots a blue Sotheby's matchbook with one of the matches placed alongside it. Michael picks them up. He finds a handwritten message inside the cover. Compliments, V.
Michael, there are some men here to see you from the FBI.
He gawps.
Good. Good, good.
Two agents, Cannell and Lewis, interview Michael.
We often sell works by first-time artists. I don't see how this time is any different.
The difference is that this painting was bought by a restaurant owner who owed the artist's father $50,000.
It's a setup, you get it? They bought it from themselves.
I don't understand. If someone buys your painting for $50,000, you make $50,000, but if they already owed you the money, you make nothing.
It's called money laundering.
Ah. You mind?
Not at all, no.
They do it through car washes, restaurants, bars, and last night through you. Have you at any time come into contact with anyone who you thought might be connected with organized crime of any kind?
Agent Lewis lights a cigarette.
Absolutely not.
You sure about that?
I am positive.
Lewis used the Sotheby's matches to light the cigarette. Frank arrives at the glass door to Michael's office and waves, then spots the agent. He ducks as the agents turn to look. Frank crawls away between Morganson and Philip, who turn to watch him, bemused. They head over to Helen's desk.
Are we okay to see Michael?
Oh, he's in with the FBI.
Lovely. Perhaps later then. Have you had lunch?
They walk away. Michael shows the agents out of his office.
Well, thank you very much indeed for the warning. And if anything like this crops up again, I'll certainly be in touch.
We'd appreciate that. We're dealing with something pretty ugly here. Here's my card.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, those. Thank you.
He takes back the Sotheby's matches.
Michael, Gina is in reception.
Good. Thank you.
Michael, I know what you're thinking. It's okay. Relax.
Mr. Felgate, where did you want this?
It's another horrific painting by Johnny, a man shot by arrows.
In my office. Thank you. Quick as you can.
He returns to his office.
Yeah.
It turns out that Vito and Johnny had taken more of a liking to the idea than any of us had perhaps originally anticipated. That's
God
all.
Almighty, it's out of control. You can't control it, can you?
Listen now, it is not out of control.
Well, I have to tell Gina. I have to tell her.
Tonight is your last auction of the season, right? All you have to do is keep Gina away from here. Sell a painting, go on your honeymoon. Hey, by the time you come back, I swear everything will be taken care of, I swear.
I'm not lying to Gina. I'm not doing it. I have to tell her.
Michael, please. You know Gina's happiness means more to me than anything in the world. You know that, right? If you tell her now that you already lied, it's all over.
Frank nods sincerely. Sitting in a chair wearing a dress shirt and a deep frown, Michael winces.
God damn it. This is your fault.
Hey, you know, I've been on your side every step of the way here.
Yeah, well, if you were a plumber, would we be having this conversation?
They head out in suits.
Look at you.
Where's Richie?
He comes out in his pants and stands between them.
Smile.
What's the matter with you?
I don't know.
So are you guys busy tonight?
No, actually, I'm gonna go to Michael's big auction. You wanna come?
Yes.
Gina.
Yeah.
You know, we should talk about that.
What?
Tonight. Been thinking about it, you know, it's quite a big deal. Morganson's gonna be there again and I'm just afraid I might get put off if you were there. I know it sounds silly. I'm just thinking I might not be able to see the bids because I'd, you know, not be able to look at you.
What is it?
I'm fine. He loves you so much, and I am so happy for you. No, it's so great.
Gina gave the sobbing Carol a big hug, and Richie joined in. Night. Johnny pulls up outside Cromwell's and climbs out of his sporty red soft top. He heads inside. His latest painting is on display in the auction room.
And so finally to lot 125A. And another of our occasional Jonathan Graziosi's. This unusual painting is entitled Die Piggy Piggy Die Die and has a reserve of $80,000. At $80,000, then.
Vinny's with the grey-haired guy.
Anyone?
Bid.
$80,000.
Vinny grabs the guy's hand and squeezes it. Michael chokes on some water.
Excuse me.
The old lady holds up her number.
Is that? We have $80,000, lady at the front. 85, anyone?
Vinny squeezes again.
Yes, $85,000, gentleman at the back. No advance, no one else, all through and...
The old lady bids.
$90,000. $90,000. Ha! Anyone at $95,000?
Be smart and take our money now. Let me pay you back later.
You're supposed to buy the painter.
Yeah, but you can make double the money.
Just doing my job.
Yes, $95,000. Ha!
The lady bids again.
$100,000. Anyone at $105,000? Yes, ha ha! $105,000, gentlemen at the back. And may I just remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that we recently sold a Graziosi for a record $50,000. The most ever paid for a Graziosi. 50. Less than half the current bidding price.
Her hearing aid fell out.
$110,000. Anyone at $115,000?
To the grey-haired guy.
Sir? $115,000.
I told you.
Certainly, and to let this go for $110,000 would be a crime of the greatest magnitude.
Johnny told the guy to stop bidding. Michael pointed him anyway.
Yes, $115,000. Gentlemen at the back, all through, all down and down. It goes at $115,000 to bidder number 702. Terrific. And that brings us to the end of the auction, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much indeed. Good night.
Johnny gets up angrily as Michael hurries out.
I can't talk. I have to see Gina.
In the front row, the old lady looks annoyed. Michael arrives at his apartment block and heads along the corridor.
Michael! Gina told me the happy news. I'm baking you two a cake.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's incredibly nice of you, thanks. I'll see you a bit later then.
His neighbour, Mrs. Horton, goes back into her apartment. Michael unlocks the door to his apartment and goes inside. The table is set for a romantic dinner. Gina slinks into the living room in a sexy red mini dress.
Gina? Wow. Who are you? My God, what is this?
It's the 3-month anniversary of our very first date.
I'm a complete idiot. Sorry.
But do you mind if we have company?
Who?
She holds up a cuddly toy gorilla.
Humans and gorillas are primates.
Well, he reminded me of you.
Yes, he would.
Happy anniversary.
Oh my God, I just feel so horrible that I didn't remember to get anything for you.
A necklace.
Oh, my God.
Swap?
Oh, yeah. Michael, you can't afford this. Come here.
They snog on the sofa.
I have an opposable thumb.
Wait, Gina, hang on. Calm down. Listen, I can't afford it because, you know, things have been going really well at work recently. Apart from...
She puts the necklace on.
There's one thing that I think we should talk about, okay?
Okay.
I'll go.
He heads for the door and looks through the spy hole. It's Johnny.
Who is it?
It's, Jehovah Bloody Witnesses. Yeah, please go away, thank you, we're not interested.
They must be very devoted.
Hang on. Excuse me.
I want my money now. No talk. Money now.
Johnny.
Hello, Gina.
Michael, what's going on?
All right, listen.
Prince Charles here just cost me 130 grand, and he's gonna make it up out of his own pocket. Wait, what's this work?
Michael.
All right, they were auctioning Johnny's paintings to launder money.
Not they. We. And a connoisseur had the taste to try to buy some of my art.
Well, she was 90 years old and blind. She was not a connoisseur.
Your jerk fiancé wouldn't even let her bid.
Well, cheating innocent collectors was not part of the deal.
You had a deal?
No.
When angered, I make this sound.
We didn't have a deal. How come you took commission from the painting I sold last night?
This is why you told me not to come tonight.
Gina,
Because if I was there, you'd have trouble not looking at me.
Very smooth. Very smooth.
I mean, did you take a commission? Is that how you afforded this?
What's the matter? We burst your little town and country bubble here? Yeah, I don't know who the hell you think you are.
All right, that's it. Come on, get
out. Don't touch me! Don't touch me!
All right.
Other primates fear the gorilla.
Don't be a moron, Johnny.
Just relax, okay? Relax.
Come on, Johnny. You don't need a gun.
You're right. I don't.
He punches Michael.
Johnny!
I hate to do this to such a beautiful establishment, but you gotta learn how to pay up!
Gina grabs the gun.
Stop! Stop!
She fires at the roof. The bullet ricochets into Johnny, who drops on the gorilla.
My diet is leaves and fresh fruit.
Oh my God.
What happened? Did it ricochet?
He checks Johnny's pulse, then looks up.
He's dead.
Oh, my God.
All right. It's not your fault. It's okay. Here's what we do. I'm, gonna call the police.
No, you can't. They don't have the police. What have I done?
Listen, don't you worry. You go home. I'll call your father.
Daddy?
Yeah. We can deal with this.
You're one of the guys now.
Gina, listen to me.
No,
that's
no,
not true.
No, you're right. This is a job for the boys.
You don't understand.
No, don't touch.
You don't understand.
Michael, I understand perfectly. I've always understood. That's why I warned you. That's why you swore to me this wouldn't happen.
Venus, you have to let me explain.
I'll just put this in the kitchen.
No, no, no. Thank you. Thank you so much. But I just learned I'm diabetic. Thank you so much for the thought, though.
Gina threw her ring at Michael, who shuts Mrs. Horton back in her apartment. Michael and Frank stand above Johnny, who lies on Michael's floor in a pool of blood.
Funny how life imitates art.
All right, don't worry. We can handle this. It's gonna be okay. First thing, do you have any plastic bags?
Absolutely.
As Michael heads off, Frank crosses himself.
Jesus, sweet. Jesus.
Yeah.
It's a sandwich bag.
What am I supposed to do with that?
I don't know. I thought perhaps the gun?
Frank gawps at Michael.
Bigger? Right.
They carry Johnny's body along the corridor in bin bags. Michael drops the head end.
Sorry.
The trick is to hook up under the armpits.
Mrs. Horton opens her door as Michael picks Johnny back up.
Good evening again, Mrs. Horton. Just getting rid of all the food with sugar.
They head down the stairs. Frank's silver estate car pulls away, passing Johnny's red car still parked at the side of the road. Frank's car is parked on a deserted patch of beach by the docks. Michael stands by as Frank digs a hole. Mambo Italiano, try an enchilada with the fish baccalà. I love how you dance a rumba. Michael takes a turn digging as Frank stands nearby. Michael looks up at Frank with a frown. Frank checks his watch and shrugs. Michael digs. Frank spots something over a sandbank and puts his hand on Michael's shoulder. Michael stops digging. Frank creeps over to the sandbank and peers over the top. Two mobsters dig a hole on the other side. They spot Frank and take cover. Frank and the mobsters pull guns. The mobsters fire from behind a burned-out car. Frank returns fire. A bullet hits Michael's shovel.
For Christ's sake, would you stay down?
I am down.
Hey, Frankie! Al?
It's Frankie.
Vitaly?
Yeah.
It's Al.
Unbelievable.
Oh! My God, son.
Frankie.
Did you get hit anywhere?
Nah, what are you kidding? Thank God we're chicken shits, eh? Real tough guys would have stood there and aimed, no?
So, who's your friend?
That's Big Mickey from Kansas City.
Friend of ours.
I thought Big Mickey was dead.
The father, this is Little Big Mickey.
Wasn't there a Little Big Mickey out of Chicago?
Yeah, that's the original Little Big Mickey. This is Little Big Mickey Blue Eyes.
Oh, so you work for Tony Two-Tone.
Michael shrugs.
What you got over there? Whoa, is that Sonny Marcellino?
Yeah.
I thought he was a witness protection.
Took us 7 years. Tracked him and whacked him. Yeah.
Tracked him and whacked him.
So, who's your guy?
He's a nobody.
Frankie, come on. We showed you us.
What, we in the second grade over here? He's a witness. I really can't talk about it.
Well, then I guess we should get these guys in the ground, huh?
Good, good.
Yeah, good to see you. You too, huh?
Frankie.
Mickey Blue.
God bless. Take care. Mickey. Come on, let's go. We gotta move him.
Come on.
I gotta dig?
Yeah, you dig. It's your turn.
You shot him in the head.
So? I whacked him. You dig.
You know what? I wish I was him.
No, you don't.
No, you're right. I wish you were him.
They put Johnny in the boot.
Here. Wipe yourself.
He hands Michael a tissue. Oh,
you got $100 bill?
Why?
Get in the car. Don't worry about it.
Look, one thing. If any of this gets out, I'm the one that shot Johnny, okay? Can we at least agree on that?
You got it.
Michael nods and they both get into the car. Day, Michael heads across the schoolyard with Gina.
You all right?
got my messages.
You buried him, and then you dug him up. Now you don't know where he is.
No, not exactly.
Yeah, I got your messages.
So, how are you feeling?
Well, obviously, it's my first murder. On top of which, I feel like I'm going crazy and I'm scared, and the one person I want to turn to turns out to be a liar and a fraud. But other than that...
I'm not a liar. I mean, yes, I am a liar, but I just let me...
Oh, well, I don't think I can. I'm sorry. I have to go.
Wait. Hold out your hand.
He gives her the ring.
Yeah. Just hang on to it till I've had a chance to explain.
Come over for lunch tomorrow and I'll listen to what you have to say.
She goes into the school. Michael watches a TV news report.
This is Patrick Richards, reporting from Central Park, where police this morning found the body of 31-year-old Jonathan Graciosi, son of reputed mob boss Vito Graciosi. Sources tell us the body was found with a rolled-up $100 bill in one of the nostrils, calling card of the notorious Rosoli crime family. Johnny Graciosi was at the beginning of a flourishing art career.
In a church, Vito kneels by Johnny's coffin, which is surrounded by flowers. One of Johnny's paintings hangs over the coffin. It shows Johnny with a halo above a pit of fire. Vito stands up and heads over to Frank, who takes his hands with a consoling look. Vito pats his shoulder, then Vinny arrives.
Johnny Rizzoli called. I want to talk. Okay, set it up.
Vito and Frank are with a couple of heavies in a deserted warehouse.
As soon as they pull up, we should blow them away.
A car arrives.
Let's listen to what they got to say, huh?
Tony Rizzoli, a senior grey-haired man in a black overcoat, climbs out of the car with his mob. They meet Vito and co. in the middle of the damp-looking warehouse.
Mr. Rizzoli says he swears on the soul of his mother. He had none to do with this.
Then who?
Cop and the 20th priest had tipped us. They towed Johnny's car from in front of a building on the Upper West Side. That's the address.
Vito gives Vinny the bit of paper.
Go.
No, wait.
You don't want everyone stomping around up there like a bunch of goddamn elephants scaring people away. How about I go in there with a detective's badge, you know, ask around, keep it quiet. We find the right zebra, we tear him to pieces.
Frank looks around at the two mobs. Vito thinks a moment, then nods and heads back to his car. At home, Michael hangs up the gorilla which he's washed. He squeezes out the soap. He dries his hands and dumps the towel, then checks his watch and puts his overcoat on.
Which apartment was the old lady in that saw us with Johnny?
Why?
They know he was here.
Oh, God.
We need to talk to her about it.
They head over to Mrs. Horton's door. Frank takes some rope out.
What's that? What are you going to do?
Michael, please. Please, I am not going to hurt her.
No, listen.
Michael, if we don't do this, we're both going to die.
Who is it?
It's a Michael Felgate. No.
And his harmless friend, Frank.
No, Mrs. Horton, do not open... What?
Mrs. Horton, he said, please open the door.
You're Michael's friend. The garbage helper?
Yes, the garbage helper.
Frank lets Michael out of a headlock as Al and Sante exit the lift and Mrs. Horton opens her door.
Oh, what are you guys doing here?
Hey, Frankie, Mr. Rizzoli thought we should check it out. Hey, Mickey Blue.
Thank you very much, thank you. If you remember anything else, will you call that number?
Thank you.
we covered this place top to bottom, but most of the people at work. How about we grab some steak and we all come back later this afternoon?
Hey, we look like we ever said no to a steak.
And I got the perfect place. You'll love it, Frank. Follow us.
Hey, forget about it.
Hey, forget about it.
Forget about it. Forget no R's.
Forget about it.
And I'll change the T's to D's.
Forget about it.
Id?
Well, you said change the T's to the D's, for Christ's sake.
Not the last one.
What? All right, change the T's to the D's, but not the last one.
Forget about it.
Forget about it.
Stop. Try this one here. Get the hell out of here. No R's.
Get the hell out of here.
Not he. He.
He.
He.
He.
Now keep your mouth shut. Stick this in your pants. Stick it in your pants. Maybe you'll look the part. My God.
Well, you know, since I live there, maybe I should just shoot Mrs. Horton and save you going back with your rope.
You thought that was for strangling her?
Well, what else was it for?
It was to tie her up so I could take it to my cab. Jesus, Mike. I mean, my God. Sometimes I wonder what kind of person you think that I am.
I think you're the kind of person that knows the trick for carrying a dead body. Oh, my God. Hey, get out of here.
No, just forget about it.
Forget about it.
No, I mean, shut up. Please shut up.
Forget about it.
They follow Alan Santé into a restaurant. The gun Frank gave Michael in the car slips out of Michael's trouser leg. Michael bends down and hastily grabs the gun. He looks up at two startled customers, then fumbles the gun into his belt. He spots one of Johnny's paintings on the wall, then clocks the guy from the freezer across the restaurant.
Oh my God, I sold him the painting. He knows who I am. This can't be happening.
At their table.
Hi, you gentlemen ready to order?
A salad and some mineral water. I'm counting my cholesterol.
I'll have a sirloin medium, fried onions, big potato with everything on it, and a beer.
Same.
And you?
Same.
And how you want your steak cooked?
Michael looks up at the waitress with a frown.
Free.
What?
Raw.
What?
Raw.
Raw?
Raw.
Rare?
Rare.
Rare. And how about a drink?
Beer.
Another beer. You talk funny.
You got any company while you're in town?
Michael shakes his head to a nearby waitress.
Hey, Antoinette. Come here.
Lithe brunette Antoinette struts over towards them.
This is a very good friend of ours. Kansas City, little big Mickey Blue Eyes.
Well, that's a mouthful.
Yeah.
Sit down. Say hi to the nice man.
She sits on Michael's lap.
Hey.
Hi.
From across the restaurant, Carol spots Antoinette with her arms around Michael's shoulders.
So, what part of Kansas City?
Michael kisses her as the owner comes over.
Hey, are they taking care of you guys? Get the hell back in your goddamn kitchen. I want something for you all ass. Go on.
Carol surreptitiously takes a photo of Michael and Antoinette as the owner slopes off. Alan and Santé share a puzzled glance.
Kansas City, here I come.
Rent, Goodfellas, Casino, Godfather, 1, 2, 3.
Jesus Christ, it talks?
Yeah, with an accent, no less.
What is that?
It's like a little recorder thing. Got it off some British asshole.
Michael, what an amazing coincidence. Come for one of the famous steaks.
Is something queer going on?
No. Is this in any way connected to that FBI business? Philip, I can't explain at the moment. What on earth was going on at the auction last night? Why did you keep saying ha like that? We were all quite worried about you.
I'll have to explain later. I'm sorry. Oh, my God, I am so sorry. It's completely my fault. I can't apologize enough.
He clocks Alan Santé.
Just a little screw-up. But what did he? We got it under control. Forget about it.
Why in the world are you talking like that?
Shut up, asshole. I had enough of yous. I said shut up. Get out of here. All you British all the same. You're all assholes. Go on. Get out of here.
He boots Philip out, then struts back to the table, stowing his gun, which he kicked loose and felled a waiter with.
Asshole.
Alan and Santé share a frown. Michael and Frank head back to Frank's car.
What are they doing?
What are they doing? They're talking to Kansas City. But they still can't connect us to Johnny if I get to the old lady before they do.
But she won't be there. She spends her afternoons playing cards. I see her come home about 3. Oh, no.
What?
What? Oh, no! I missed meeting Gina for lunch.
So give her a call. Explain what happened. Trust me, it'll be okay.
No, just wake up, Frank. It will not be okay. I just assaulted my boss. I've lost my fiancée, and now your pals are going to hunt me down and kill me. So of all the things it's not going to be, okay pretty much tops the list.
Michael, you have to stay focused.
Will you focus on this? You know, Gina's probably not going to forgive me. And do you know why? Because I lied to her, and her father's been lying to her all her life. And it hurts.
She told you that.
Yeah. And now it looks like I've lost the only girl I've ever really loved. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it's not bloody okay at all.
He shoves the gun into Frank's hand.
Michael. You can't go home.
I'm going to Gina.
He walks away. Frank tucks the gun into his belt. On the phone in the lobby of Gina's apartment block.
I should never have lied to you. I should have told you everything from the start, but the whole thing just snowballed, and before I knew where I was just buried in the whole thing. But everything I did out of fear of losing you. Can't you see that? Gina, listen, please, just let me come up. This is ridiculous.
Why didn't you show up for lunch today? The truth, please.
Okay, I was with your father. We had to have lunch with these people.
It was a nightmare.
Seems like you and Dad are getting pretty close.
She looks at the photos Carol took.
What does that mean?
It means we're over, Michael. I just don't know who you are.
She hangs up. In the lobby, some OAPs have been listening to their conversation.
You're toast.
They head off. Michael nods, smiles at Dorman Jimmy, then turns to go.
Michael. Come here.
What?
Don't worry about it. It'll be okay.
Yeah. Hey! Come on!
Thanks, Jim.
Jimmy whacked Michael in the stomach. Michael shrugs and slopes out of the building. At Michael's apartment block, Frank picks the lock on Mrs. Horton's door and takes out his rope, then sneaks into Mrs. Horton's apartment.
And now here's our host, Pat Bullard.
He spots an armchair rocking in front of the TV.
Thank you. Let's get started by meeting our first...
The chair spins. It's Vito. Two heavies appear behind Frank.
She went out, Frankie.
Frank glances at the heavies, then back at Vito, who nods slowly.
Michael, fired a warning shot in the ceiling. It was an accident. Sit down, Frank.
Outside, Frank runs over to a phone booth.
It's a wonderful city, and everyone's been so friendly and courteous. I don't know why they talk the way they do about New Yorkers.
Get the hell out of here. Come on.
Frank takes the phone and makes a call. Gina answers at home.
Hello?
Listen to me. I want you to get out of the apartment right now. You hear me? Just go.
What's going on? What's happening?
Vito thinks the result is killed Johnny. Things are a little dicey right now, that's all.
Oh, I'm fine. Vito was worried too, so he sent Uncle Vinny to watch out for me.
Isn't that sweet of him? Daddy?
You there?
Okay, listen to me. Listen to me. Whatever you do, I can't explain this right now, but whatever you do, don't tell anyone there's trouble between you and Michael. It's very, very important. Do you understand?
Okay.
Let me talk to Vinny.
Sure, one sec. It's Daddy.
Ma'am. Frankie.
You listen to me. You touch one hair on her head, I swear on my mother.
Hey, listen. I'm just doing my job, all right, Frank? I mean, you do what you gotta do, and everything will be okay. Right?
You...
He hangs up the phone and frowns. Michael stands anxiously on the edge of a building site by the docks. Frank's car drives through the site. Frank parks, wearing a pair of shades. He heads over to Michael.
So?
Frank takes off his shades.
They know what happened.
Michael grimaces.
They know about Gina?
They think it was you.
So, what's gonna happen?
They gotta take care of you, Michael.
What does that mean?
It means, they ordered someone to,
whack me?
Frank nods faintly.
Okay, do we know who?
Me.
You. You're going to whack me?
Stop saying that. You sound like an idiot. Yeah, Vito wants me to do it at the wedding. During your speech. I mean, that way he figures, you know, he gets us both. You die and I lose Gina by killing the man she loves.
But there isn't going to be a wedding.
No. So I can't do it then.
You mean you can't do it then, or you can't do it then?
The first one.
Right.
They got Gina, Michael. If I don't do it, Vinny's gonna kill her.
My God.
It's one of these honor things, you know, a life for life. Bottom line. Bottom line. Vito's not gonna rest until he sees a body.
A body?
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Michael's eyes rove in thought, then he looks at Frank, who watches him curiously. Michael walks in front of a grimy blue tile wall in a grubby warehouse.
Well, this is probably a stupid question, but to your knowledge, does this hurt?
No. You won't feel a thing. Ready?
Frank shoots Michael in the chest. Blood pours out through the bullet holes.
That is surprisingly painful, actually. Is it meant to hurt that much?
Let me check that for you.
The FBI.
Right. When Michael gets up to give his bridegroom's speech, you shoot him twice. Then our guys come in and shoot you.
We're gonna stitch the squib controls inside your tuxedos, so you're gonna have to learn to set them off yourselves in sync with the gunshots. You think you can handle it?
Any problems, speak now. This thing is potentially huge for us. Massive. Questions? Worries? Something you need?
Well, just one thing. A bride.
No, sir, we don't take bribes.
Bride.
Pardon?
Bride.
Take them goddamn things off your head.
Yes, sir.
And the Handy Bundler is virtually indestructible. Even the law can use Handy Bundler to detain criminals. You'll find hundreds of uses for the Handy Bundler around the shop.
Gina answers her phone as Vinny notes down the number for the Handy Bundler advertised on the TV.
Hello?
Easy as 1, 2, 3.
So these are the guys doing the flowers for the wedding, right?
Yeah, they're supposed to be great. Thanks, Uncle Vinny. I think I'll be safe with Michael inside.
Okay.
Gina goes into the florist's and greets Michael, who beams broadly and gives her a big hug. He arches his eyebrows in greeting at Vinny, who watches them through the window while lighting a cigarette. The florist comes over and greets them. It's Agent Lewis in a fake beard.
So, what's going on?
Okay, they don't know anything at all about you, but, they think that I shot Johnny.
But you didn't.
Act like you're in love.
Who are you?
FBI. How are you today?
Vito doesn't know that I know this, but your father's been ordered to kill me at our wedding reception.
Michael will be wearing a wire.
What?
The idea is that Vito won't be afraid to talk to me because he thinks I'm about to die. And then, when I get him to incriminate himself...
Our guys come in. Bingo. Got him.
And, that's the end of it.
You think I'd help trap my own father?
Your father is with us.
You're more important to him than they are, Gina. It's our only way out of this alive.
She bows her head.
And then I guess I don't have a choice.
Everything okay?
Everything's fine. Decisions, you know? I think we're through.
Excuse me. Any panics, any questions? You just give us a call. Tony and Guy, Don't be shy.
Well, bye then, darling. See you later.
Vinny leads her out to his car by the arm. Both FBI men wander up behind Michael in their florist's outfits.
I can't do this. We have to tell her Frank's gonna pretend to shoot me.
No way. Her reaction is everything. It has to be real.
A team of chefs in white jackets and high white hats hurry out of a van parked at the roadside by Louis's wedding banquet. The chefs file up the drive with almost military precision. One of them shuts the van doors from the inside and joins Agent Cannell at a bank of computer terminals.
Kitchen team moving.
Right, a limo en route.
Good. Okay, gentlemen, the limo is on its way.
These are the squibs, right? Two controllers, one in each pocket. Now, a squeeze or a sharp tap sets them off. You understand?
How do you do? I'm the best man. You know, my name's Peter. I'm the best man, and I work at Marks and Spencer's. I love chocolate biscuits. Oh, Mumsy, I want some ginger beer.
That was Agent Louis. Gina arrives by the church in a white limo. Gina and her bridesmaids hurry inside. Frank grabs Vinny's arm.
Not much of a job, though, is it, Vinny?
The kitchen staff in Louis look surprised as the FBI chefs enter. Richie seats a guest in the church.
Thank you so much.
He shoves other guests aside to accommodate her. The FBI chefs hand out guns in the kitchen at Louis's. In the van.
Testing 1, 2, 3, do you read? Do you read?
Testing 1, 2, 3, do you read? Do you read? Remember, we're going to need grad seals to be loud and clear. You got plenty of time.
He only has until the speeches.
Right, after the dancing and dessert.
You've got to be kidding. This is an Italian wedding. The speeches are before the dinner. You knew that, right?
Still got plenty of time.
Plenty of time? You have 10 minutes, if you're lucky.
This is not a problem. We're gonna be okay. We have a problem. Quite the problem.
And Michael Andrew Felgate, do you take Gina Maria Vitale for your lawful wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, until death do you part?
I do.
You have declared your consent before the church. May the Lord in his goodness strengthen your consent and fill you both with his blessings. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I pronounce you husband and wife. You may kiss the bride.
Under the watchful gaze of the family, Michael kisses Gina's lips. They beam at the applauding crowd.
Kitchen team, we've got one shot at this.
And less than 5 minutes before the speeches.
We got it.
Ah, Philip, about the other day.
No, I don't want to hear. I'm sure you had your reasons.
No names, no petrol. That's my motto. It's incredibly nice of you. Goodness, are you drinking?
Come on, darling.
I've only had one glass.
Let me take that.
She thinks I'm drunk.
Very embarrassing.
With Gina, Michael checks his watch and clocks Vito sitting down at a table.
I think you're on.
He touches Gina's arm, then heads across the dance floor towards Vito. Agent Louis talks into his pink carnation.
In position. Uncle Vito, I just wanted to say how sorry I am about your son.
Thank you.
Cannell listens from the van.
This is a happy day. I wish you much joy. I especially look forward to the speeches.
What? You're very kind, and I'm very appreciative of the way you've opened my eyes to new possibilities. As a matter of fact, I recently thought of a new idea that I think could be extremely profitable to us both. Absurdly profitable, really. I mean, I think we're talking millions. But this certainly isn't the occasion to be talking business, is it? Another time, perhaps. Thank you so much again for being here.
just lost his mind.
And speeches in 405.
Frank grabs Michael.
Are you out of your mind?
He wasn't ready. Relax.
Relax?
Congratulations, Frank. Hey. 5 minutes with that. You, me, and Gina.
Hi, Frankie.
Never chase the bid.
Hello?
What?
Let the bid come to you. It's rule number one.
What the hell are you talking about?
Oh, Mr. Graziosi wants to see you over there.
Of course. Pleasure.
Michael heads back over to Vito's table.
I think we're in business. Speeches in three.
Michael sits with Vito.
We have to go say hi to Maria.
Vinny follows Gina away.
So basically, you continue to sell and buy interesting work through us. And I do the insurance valuation on the collection you assemble.
Like insurance against a fire, for example.
Fires can happen. Look at Sotheby's. But fortunately, of course, you would be handsomely covered. So what do you think? Are we in business then?
Say it in tune.
Michael!
There you are!
Hello.
You two look serious.
Cheer up.
Good heavens, there's quite something.
Hi.
Oh, take it easy.
Quite right.
Philip dons Vito's specs.
What do you think? Philip, this is Uncle Vito. Delighted to meet you. You from the old country?
Parla italiano, lei?
My family's from Sicily.
Ah, la bella Sicilia, land of the goat. My wife and I spent the most wonderful week there last summer. Charming little pensione with the most priceless little owner, who looked just like a mafiosi. We called him Al Capone. Do you remember, darling? My God, these things are making me squiffy.
He gives them back.
Thank you. Excuse me.
Arrivederci. Sorry, Philip. Uncle Vito.
Oh, but I am a ninny. I quite forgot to tell you the good news. Mr. Morganson here has decided Cromwell's are the team for him. Oh, well, that's marvelous news. We must meet up and discuss the details. Let me just find my...
Passing his pockets, Michael sets off a squib, spurting blood into Morganson's face. Michael covers up.
I'll have Helen leave a message on Monday. Excuse me.
What a horrible thing to happen. Are you all right? I'm sure he meant it as a joke. Could I borrow him for a second?
Thanks.
Michael leads Philip away.
That was quite something. I love party tricks.
Hooray! Gather round from the farthest reaches and take your seat to hear the speeches!
And speeches are early.
Frank's with Vito.
Listen, I swear to God I'll do it, but I'm begging you for Gina's sake. Let me wait till after the party's over.
During the speeches, for Gina's sake.
He glances at Vinny standing with Gina. Michael's in a toilet cubicle with Philip.
Please, we have to hurry. I'm going as fast as I can, but it's rather a mess. Come on, turn around. I need to tuck it in properly.
English. Figured as much.
No, just shove it in there. Shove it in there. Go on, just stuff it in.
Give me a gun. Huh? Give me a gun, Frank.
Agent Lewis looks on as Frank hands Vito his gun, and Vito hands him a different gun back.
Johnny's is first. I want you to use this one.
I think he gave Frank a live gun.
I suggest abort. I repeat, abort.
No. We can still get this. Get a mic in there. Kitchen team, get into position, but nobody goes in until I say so. Understood?
Sir.
Shut up.
Copy that.
The heavily armed FBI chefs line up in the kitchen.
Best man, how do you do? Oh, excuse me, but I rather think you're wilting there, old boy. Here we are. Here we are.
Toodaloo.
Welcome back.
See you later, then.
Ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you'd like to give a big hand to Gina and Mike. Woo!
Michael and Gina stand up. A spotlight falls on them. Michael switched shirts with Philip. Lewis switched Frank's carnations.
You gotta get in here, Bob. It's too late. He's gonna die.
No, this has been 9 years. Kitchen team.
Standing by.
Wait for my word.
Gina and Michael walk over to the head table and sit down. Vinny sits with the bridesmaids. Lewis puts his arm around Michael's shoulder.
We still got a chance. Frank's got a mic. But,
What?
We don't give him a live gun.
Looking at Frank, Michael's eyes widen.
All right. Now, can you clappin'? 'Cause here's you-know-whom. My new brother and our bridegroom. All right, come on. Mikey, we're waiting. We're waiting, Mikey. You're getting married. Get up, boy.
Woo! Michael stands up behind the mic. He glances at Frank, then at Agent Lewis. Philip is bare-chested beneath his jacket.
Speak up!
Sorry. This is making me a bit nervous. The last time I had to speak at a wedding, I was only supposed to propose a toast to the bridesmaids. I ended up proposing an opening bid. What's worse is that they both sold.
What do you want, the head or the chest?
Come on.
So, I'll keep it simple.
Good idea!
And just tell you why I think today, for once, I'm the one acquiring the masterpiece. Firstly, it goes without saying, I've always been a huge fan of the Italian school.
Well, speak to me, you know.
Secondly, and
it's not working.
They say that the real test of a masterpiece is whether you instinctively know it's something you're going to keep forever. Love forever. Something you sense you've always...
Don't think of it as
gaining a son. If you don't do it,
you're losing the daughter.
Sir, no good.
In some cases, it's even something you'd be prepared to die to protect. And that's certainly the case here. I'd rather die than see any harm come to Gina. I love her more than my own life. And I hope I'm making myself crystal clear on that point.
He glowers at Frank.
Death is okay by me.
Some of the guests look a bit confused.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the father of the bride.
Michael nods at Frank, who stands up slowly.
For Christ's sakes, Bob, this is it.
Damn it. Kitchen team, go!
The FBI chefs charge through the kitchen, guns at the ready. Frank looks at Michael, then takes his gun out and aims.
Excuse me! FBI!
The chefs barge through the crowd at the back of the wide room. Frank pulls the trigger, missing Michael and hitting the flowers behind him. Michael stares. Frank shrugs. Michael taps his pockets. The squib goes off and Michael collapses a bit late. Philip guffaws. Vito glares angrily.
It's bullshit! Do it!
No!
Do it! Billy! I'm murdering you, killer!
Yes! Got it.
No!
FBI! Freeze!
Vinny shoots Gina in the chest. She collapses as blood spurts through her dress. Michael gawps in horror as Lewis runs over to check Gina's pulse.
It's now!
It's too late.
Two of the chefs hold Michael back as he grits his teeth and struggles to reach Gina. Lewis hunkers gravely by her side. An ashen-faced Frank looks around at Vito. The two men share a level look, then the chefs hustle Vito and his boys out of the room. Amongst uniformed cops, Frank and Michael follow a covered gurney out to the ambulance by the entrance to Louise.
I'm ready.
Three!
Frank, Michael, Lewis and Cornell sit around the gurney in the ambulance as it speeds through the streets. Michael sobs, head in hands. Also sobbing, Frank puts his arm around Michael's shoulder and hugs him.
I'm so sorry.
No, I'm sorry.
You should both be sorry.
Gina sits up.
Oh, these things are surprisingly painful.
Oh, my God.
It's a new rule of mine. Always assume you guys are hiding something.
Why'd you...
Because when I thought of you with a gun, Michael, suddenly I wanted a backup.
You did good.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
I'll tell you, Frank, a father might act like a moron sometimes.
Vinny?
In the front seat.
So I retired. Telling you, Frankie, the kid's a genius. I mean, think about it. You got Vito. Vito thinks he got his revenge. And that's it. Bada-bing. You're even. Huh? You're in the clear. All he is.
How the hell could you do this to me?
You were gonna do it to me.
No, we did it because we love you.
Same here.
What? You love both of us?
She pouts and shakes her head.
I don't think so, Michael.
She gives him the photo of him kissing Antoinette.
Oh, my God.
I wasn't into...
Oh, my God. Gina!
Welcome to the
Gina!
Halfway point of the annual successful March of the Marathon.
Gina!
If you have not taken part in this...
No!
Before,
no, leave me alone! Leave me alone!
This picture, it isn't me. It isn't me. It's Kansas City little Big Mickey Blue Eyes. I was... pretending to be a mobster, and I couldn't say my R's, and I had to kiss the waitress or they would have killed us. Look, look who's sitting next to me. Recognize that suit?
Is that Dad?
Gina, this photo means nothing.
So who's Mickey Blue Eyes?
I am. I mean, I was. We just made him up. Please come back and I'll explain everything.
So, when you said you were with my dad that day, you weren't...
I was, telling the truth.
You told me a lot of other lies, Michael.
I know. I thought it was the only way to keep you. But you were right. It was the only sure way to lose you.
They stand amidst an OAP's fun run in the park.
So, I was right.
You were.
And smarter than you all along.
Yes.
And braver.
Much.
And more convincing at being shot.
Infinite. Marry me, Gina.
Would I have to be Mrs. Blue Eyes?
Come here.
What?
Come here.
What?
It's me. Mickey. Mickey Blue.
No, please.
She beams and gives him a big kiss as a group of OAPs jog past. Frank runs over and hugs them both. A caption appears. The end. ITFC audio description.